Anti-Defamation League Center for Anti-Semitism Research issued a report November 29th. It's called Campus Anti-Semitism, a study of campus climate before and after the Hamas terrorist attacks. They did a Q&A with college students across the country. Interesting and frightening findings. 73% of Jewish college students surveyed said they've experienced or witnessed some form of anti-Semitism since the beginning of the 2023-24 school year alone. By comparison, 43.9% of non-Jewish students reported the same during that period. Prior to this school year, 70% of Jewish college students experienced at least some form of anti-Semitism throughout their entire college experience. Of the non-Jewish students who were by mistake assumed to be Jewish, nearly half, 46%, stated that they had been targeted based on their assumed, guess we call that, Jewishness. Since October 7th, students who have felt comfortable with others knowing they're Jewish, that has dropped fairly significantly. 63.7% of Jewish students before October 7th felt either very or extremely comfortable, but now only 38.6% feel that same way. A majority of all students, Jewish and non-Jewish, feel like their campus administration has done not even close to enough to address anti-Jewish prejudice at their specific university, with 70% of students saying their university should do more to address this issue. When asked who should do more to address anti-Semitism on college campuses, most students, 48.2% of Jewish students, 38.5% of non-Jewish, put the onus on, right, campus administrators. Nearly a third, 31.9% of Jewish students, said that they have felt unable to speak out about campus anti-Semitism, while only 17.6% of non-Jewish students felt the same way. 29.8% of Jewish students said that they would be uncomfortable with others on campus knowing about their view of Israel. That compares to only 13.9% of non-Jewish students. After October 7th, those numbers jumped to 38.3% and 18.9% respectively. Then there's this. Before October 7th, two-thirds, 66.6% of Jewish students said they felt either very or extremely physically safe on campus, compared to less than half, 45.5%, after October 7th. Feelings of emotional safety among Jewish students, that changed even more dramatically. Two-thirds, 65.8% of Jewish students said they felt either very or extremely emotionally safe before October 7th. That dropped to 32.5% after October 7th. And of the 55% of Jewish students who reported doing nothing in response to an anti-Semitic incident, a large part of them reported fear of backlash as a reason for why they didn't come back with anything. Of the Jewish students who had been the target of anti-Jewish comments, for example, 14.8% said they did not respond due to having fear that the perpetrator would target them again. If you want to read this full report, there's a lot more than what I just shared with you. You can find it at ADL.org, that's the website, for the Anti-Defamation League. Now, you would think with statistics like this that the response, especially among the universities at the higher level, you know, like a Harvard or University of Pennsylvania, MIT, those administrators would be just a ball of fire, just enraged and doing things to bring this to an end. You would think that, wouldn't you? Well, let's go back to a congressional hearing from this past week where Harvard President Pauline Gay, University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill, and President of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Sally Kornbluth, they were asked, well, to me, it appears to be a simple question from New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, Republican. I see it as a simple question. I hope you do, too. However, these three seem to have a problem with the simple question. You'll hear first Harvard President Pauline Gay and then University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill.
And Dr. Gay, at Harvard, Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment, yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted as an individual, targeted at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism? I will ask you one more time. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric.
And is it anti-Semitic rhetoric?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric when it crosses into conduct that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation, that is actionable conduct, and we do take action.
So the answer is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It does not depend on the context. The answer is yes, and this is why you should resign. These are unacceptable answers across the board. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer yes, Ms. McGill. So is your testimony that you will not answer yes?
If it is, if the speech
yes or no.
If the speech becomes conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
Conduct meaning committing the act of genocide? The speech is not harassment? This is unacceptable, Ms. McGill. I'm going to give you one more opportunity for the world to see your answer. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's code of conduct when it comes to bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be harassment.
The answer is yes.
I'm now wondering in what context they're looking at the reaction to their ineptitude with.